You are living in a world of change. You're watching a realignment of some nations. You're watching a realignment, but you're watching a realignment of nations. You're watching a realignment of priorities. And before I get into today's message, which I've entitled The Futility of a Religious Practice, because today across the nation, you have buildings full of people who are involved in a religious practice. They're not involved in worshiping Jehovah.
Hello.
And they're not many times, so often, they're not even born again. They're religious. And that's why I entitled this The Futility of Religious Practice. A religious practice will not get you into glory. With the last heartbeat, you've got to be received into glory only if you've been born again.
Amen.
But I want you to understand, you are living in a world of change. And you are watching the prophetic word of God being fulfilled day after day. If you understand the prophetic word, and if you know the prophetic word, you know that there will be a one world order. Yes, the church is going to be here.
Amen.
Yes, the church is going to be here in the one world order. And the one world order will eventually come under the control and authority of that individual that we know as the Antichrist. And at that time, the church will come under tremendous persecution. I don't expect it to happen in my lifetime. I don't expect it to happen in the lifetime of most of you. But it's going to happen. It took me years and years and years to positionalize where I am, but then I found out that there are a lot of tremendous preachers in the centuries gone by that saw the same thing I did, the same way I do. And somewhere along the line, the church bought into a false set of doctrine.
Yes.
As we come through this morning, open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 10 through 23, hopefully. If you have ever really understood your position in Christ Jesus, you have to understand that some have a religious practice, others have a relationship.
Hello.
You have buildings today that are full of people with a religious practice, not necessarily those who are worshiping Christ. Here's what I want to accomplish in this message. I'm trying to accomplish this on the radio, and I'm trying to accomplish this in this congregation. I want you to understand that you are a believer priest.
Amen.
As a believer priest, you have access to the throne of God. We have a world full of people who are religious with no access to the throne of God. But you, as one born again, you have access to the throne of Almighty God.
Thank you, Lord.
And the future of this nation and the nations of the world is in the hands of the church.
Right.
Folks, it took me a long time to get here, but God has turned all of His work over to the church. We're the ambassadors. We're the believer priest. We are the soldiers of the cross. We're ambassadors for Christ. God has turned all of His work over to the church. And the Antichrist can only come on the scene when the church has ultimately failed. And the church is in the process of doing that now. As a member, as one born again, as a member of the family of God, you as an individual have access to the throne of God.
Amen.
On any given day, at any given hour, you have access to your heavenly Father. You pose, if you understand your position in Christ, if you will accept your position in Christ, you pose a serious threat to Satan. You pose a serious threat to everything out of hell. You are, if I may put it this way, you're a target. Because of who you are and what you are a target. You've been identified by Satan. Now, here's an interesting thing. Satan only assigns, he doesn't waste his manpower. If you can be crippled and stopped, stalemated, where you are by a lesser demon, that's what he'll assign to you.
Yeah.
I remember one time I was in a deliverance ministry. I was performing a ministry of deliverance. And talking to the demon inside the individual, I said, "What's your position? What's your job in this individual?" And the demon answered. Now understand, coming from my background, I was not open to this. Even though it's in the Bible. With the background that I had, a fact-finding, we've got to deal in facts background, I wasn't open to this. And God had to bring me through a series of events to prove it to me and convince me of the reality of what I'm talking about now. But you have to understand, as a child of God, you pose a threat to Satan. Satan doesn't waste his resources. Satan does not waste his resources. If you can be neutralized with a, shall we say, less than powerful, unclean spirit, demon, that's what he'll use against you. I remember once I was dealing with a man in a deliverance session. I led him to Christ. He was a Roman Catholic, 40-some years old, alcoholic. But I was on my knees with him when he received Christ. Then I came through about 22 months of working with him to see him delivered from everything was in him. It all started when he was 5 years old. It began when he was 5 years old. His mother was sick. They were taking her to the hospital. Her dad took him next door to the neighbors next door and said, "Can we leave so-and-so here? I've got to take his mother to the hospital." And they said, "No, we're not keeping that brat." He was already scared, upset, mother sick, don't know what's going on, rejection there. So that opened the door. And he became a full-fledged demoniac. He became completely, totally demonized. I was on my knees with him when he accepted Christ. And then I went through months. God was teaching me as I came through the process that it was reality. It was real. Yes, Christians could be demonized. Not demon-possessed, demonized. I remember one Sunday afternoon laying on the bed with my wife. He called me on the phone. And while he's talking to me, she taps me and says, "Look at your arms." And I had these claw marks showing up on my arms as I was talking to him, red welts. Didn't feel a thing, but they were there. But that was where God put me through the school of its reality. Unclean spirits are reality. And yes, Christians entertain unclean spirits. Christians cannot be demon-possessed. Christians can be demonized. And many Christians are. Most Christians are, I suppose, to one degree or another. But as we come through this, Satan is only going to assign. He doesn't waste his resources. If he can neutralize you, or whoever he can neutralize, with an unclean spirit of lesser strength and power, as I was dealing with this one individual, I asked the unclean spirit in him, I said, what is your position? And what is your role in this man's life? And the demon answered and said, I'd get the ball rolling. I get the ball rolling? I said, what do you mean you get the ball rolling? And it came out. He said, my job is to stir him up and get him started so he'll start drinking. And then we turn him over to the next power. So that's the way it works. As God was bringing me through the processes and teaching me things I really didn't want to grasp, but it's reality. It's in church. It's in the church. And most likely everybody in here is entertaining some, if not more than others, yep, some interaction with some unclean spirit of one kind or another. They come at different levels, different strengths, different powers, different names. But as we come through this, you have to understand that you're a target. You are a target. You're going to suffer discouragement. You're going to come through times of disappointment. You're going to be disappointed in yourself. You're going to suffer discouragement, disappointment, but you got to keep this in mind. Through it all and in it all, you got to remember who you are. Amen. Who you are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now let me just pause for one split second. I'll take you on. You say, I don't believe a Christian can be demonized. I'll take you on. And I'll take you to the Word of God. Peter! I'll take you to the Word of God. And I will show you that unclean spirits work through people who are saved. Understand this. This is, I'm trying so hard to get this across to our radio congregation. And you're part of the mix. When you came to Christ, I'll cover this more thoroughly in the message. When you come to Christ, you were born again. You became a new creation. You became a believer priest. You became an ambassador for Christ. You became a witness for Christ. But you have to understand this. The process of sanctification is a process through which and by which you become increasingly more free, freed from satanic influence. Amen. It's a process. It's a process. You have to understand that. And that's why from time to time you're surprised at your own attitudes, your own reactions, and your own responses. Because you didn't realize that part of you or that part of your availability to the enemy was still there. As we come through this morning, through it all and in it all, listen, folks, it's a battle. It's warfare. Word of God teaches us, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, thrones, and dominions. It's warfare. And every day of the world, when you open your eyes, the battle is on. The battle is on. And they're out to ruin your testimony, ruin your day, and somehow use you for their end. Now, in it all and through it all, keep your eyes on Jesus.
Amen.
Keep your eyes on Jesus. And if you'll do what I'm saying to you this morning, you will pose a serious threat to hell. Everything hell has to offer. The average believer does not have the foggiest idea of who they really are in Christ Jesus and the reality of the war that they're involved in. You've got church full of people this morning who are out to lunch. They don't have the foggiest idea. Now, come with me. See, you got to know who you are. Listen to me now. You've got to know who you are in Christ Jesus. And you've got to know all you are in Christ Jesus. And may I say this to you and go ahead and hurt your feelings? You've got people sitting here this morning who are coming through situations and circumstances because they have not taken their rightful place in Christ Jesus at the right hand of God the Father.
Amen.
They've not recognized who they are. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to be immune from all this stuff that goes on in life. I'm just saying, fight a good fight.
Yes.
What's wrong with that? Nothing. If this is of you, God, I'll accept it. If it's not of you, I reject it. Whatever it may be, and make your stand. Now we come to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10. And you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. You are complete in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? It means you lack nothing. It means you lack nothing. In Christ Jesus, everything you need to walk victoriously is in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
And if you've been born again, you are in Christ Jesus with access to everything He has to offer.
Amen.
And to every victory of His can be yours. I'm not saying you'll never have an ache or pain. I'm not saying you'll never have a headache. I'm not saying you'll never feel bad. I'm not saying you won't suffer various physical disorders. I'm saying to you that you as a believer priest are indwelt by the creative power of the universe, which is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Fight the good fight.
Amen.
Fight the good fight. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. In Him, listen carefully, you are also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. The old sin nature has been put to death. The old sin nature has been put to death, yet you have will. Just because you got born again and you received a new nature, God did not take your will away from you.
No.
You still have will. Adam and Eve originally did not have a sin nature. They were not created with a sin nature. They were created right with God. But they had will. Adam and Eve had will. They did not have a sin nature. But they had will. And they exercise that will in opposition to God's will when they ate of that forbidden fruit. And we know the results from there. They exercise their will in opposition to God's will. And because of that, they opened the floodgates for everything out of hell. We've done the same thing. Everybody in here has done the same thing they did. Knowing the Word of God, knowing the will of God, knowing our access to the will of God, and yet gave Satan. Let's take it a step further. Gave demons a legal right. You see, Satan cannot operate in your life unless you give him legal authorization. Hear me. Satan cannot. You are a purchased possession of the Lord God Almighty. Purchased by the blood of Christ. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit of God. You're indwelt by the creative power of the universe. And Satan cannot gain access unless you give him access to you.
Amen.
Now, Adam and Eve gave they opened the door. They gave humanity. They gave Satan access to humanity. But then it comes down to a one-on-one thing. I am a believer priest. As a believer priest, I take my position of authority in Christ Jesus. Yes, I'm going to have a hurt here and there, and I can pull a muscle, I can do this, I can do that, I can do the other. But at the end of the day, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
I've been adopted into the family of God. I'm a child of God. I'm indwelt by the creative power of this universe. And all hell, I'm going to put all hell on notice.
Amen.
This is who I am, and this is who you are. You were defeated at Calvary, Satan. And every demon out of hell, you were defeated at Calvary.
Right.
When Christ came out of that tomb, You were defeated. And I'm going to walk in his victory. I'm not going to get up every day of the world. Oh, no. I'm going to get up every day. Bring it on. I'm going to get on my knees. I'm going to submit myself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to say to hell and everything in hell, bring it on. Because I'm putting on the whole armor of God. I'm cleansed by the blood of Christ. I'm indwelt by the creative power of the universe. Bring it on! You can do the same thing.
Amen.
You can do the same thing. Now, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12. Let me ask you this, though. In how many ways do we allow Satan to manifest himself in our life day by day? In our attitudes? In our reactions? In our response? It's amazing to me how many people of God will believe Satan before they'll believe God.
Hello.
They'll believe every lie he whispers to their mind. But they don't take God at his word. Colossians 2:12. Speaking of you, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. He's talking about baptism by immersion. Baptism by immersion symbolizes death and resurrection. That's what baptism by immersion. But baptism is not essential to salvation. Baptism is not essential to salvation. That old thief hanging on the cross, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. He was never baptized. Hung on that cross, died, went to glory. Pearl Harbor, heavens only knows how many men trapped in those burning ships cried out to God. Some had heard the gospel, rejected the gospel, but in the dying moments of those flaming inferno of those fires, they cried out to him and were born again. And yes, they died in Pearl Harbor, but they went on to glory.
Amen.
So you have to understand the reality of this whole thing. How many, in the last moment of their life, said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Be merciful to me, a sinner. And that's the prayer that God always hears. That's the prayer that God hears. Colossians 2:13, and you, being dead, this was you, this was me, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he is made alive together with him, with himself, having forgiven you all trespasses. Do you realize that every sin you ever confess has been forgiven?
Amen.
When you came to Christ confessing I'm a sinner. Here's the key though. Sometimes you need to stop and slow and you say, okay, I'm going to confess my sin. The Lord says, which one? Well, you know, all my sin. You didn't commit them all at one time. You commit them one at a time. So we need to slow down from time to time and acknowledge the sin that is still in our life. Am I prone to overemphasizing something, which is called bragging, lying, just whatever you want, name you want to hang on it? Day by day, keep your sin list short.
Amen.
You want power. You want authority. You want to access what's available to you in Christ Jesus. Keep your sin list short. The word says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I didn't say it. It's what the word says. If I regard iniquity, if I know I have known unconfessed sin in my life, that is hindering my prayer life. I need to acknowledge the sin, confess the sin, regain my prayer power. So, understand this. We all came out of the womb with a sin nature. Every last one of us came out of the womb with a sin nature. And the sin nature was revealed in our lifestyle. Our choices, what we did, what we were part of, what we were not a part of. In Christ Jesus, we're made spiritually alive. When you were born again, now you were born with a sin nature. And you did what the sin nature dictated. But when you were born again, you were born, if you will, in Christ Jesus, spiritually alive. From spiritual death. Folks, this is important. The point I'm trying to make to you right now, you need to understand it. You were born spiritually dead.
Amen.
With no access. No access to the throne of God. Now, when you came to that point in time, when you say, I want to be born again, then when you received Christ as your Lord and Savior, you now have access to the throne of God. You can take nations before Him. You can take the Senate, the Congress, the House, the President, the Governors, the Mayors. You can take everything. And I do. I do. Oftentimes on a daily basis, I take them all before the throne of God. I don't try to tell God what to do. I just ask Him to have His will, to work His will, to save those who can be saved, block and stop what Satan is doing, implement His will. But it's all you. You see, in Christ Jesus, now that you're spiritually alive, you came out of spiritual death into spiritual life, you have access to the throne of God. You've got authority. You've got the authority to use the name of Jesus. Key here is this. Keep your sin list short.
Amen.
Now, to keep your sin list short, you've got to analyze your thought life. How many times a day do you think an ungodly thought? How many times a day do you entertain an ungodly thought? How many times a day is your response to life ungodly? Your attitude, your reaction, even within the confines of the home. How many times? Do you ever stop and say, Lord, Your word tells me I'm to take every thought captive to You. Okay? I want to do that. I want to take every thought captive to You. Now, folks, I didn't make this up.
No.
It's in the Word. The Word says, taking every thought captive. I didn't write it. I just teach it. That means I can, if I'm willing, I can take every thought captive. Now, here's the problem. You're going to have the thought before you take it captive. The thought's going to come. Satan's going to see to it the thought occurs. But you've got to be willing to identify the thought and say, that's not godly. That's a wrong attitude. That's a wrong reaction, a wrong response. So I'll take it captive. I'll confess it as sin. I'll take that thought captive to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's pretty simple when you break it down like that. Colossians 2:14, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to His cross. When you came to Christ, He erased that sin list that had been recorded against you. I was kind of glad of that myself. Do you understand what I just said to you?
Yes.
When you came to Christ, when you were born again, He erased the sin list that had been accumulating over your lifetime. Every sin was forgiven. Why? Because on the cross, every sin you ever committed and every sin you ever confessed was placed on Jesus. He who knew no sin became sin so that we could be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Not in our denominational identification.
No.
Not in our personal witness and testimony, but in Christ Jesus, every single solitary sin that you ever sinned was put to death in Christ Jesus. And going forward, every sin you ever sinned that you confess is put to death in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
You can walk in liberty. You say, well, preacher, you're saying I got to examine all my attitudes? Yep. But you're saying I got to evaluate all my responses to life? Yep. It's all part of the package.
Yep.
But how long did it take to say, that was sin? I'm sorry. How long does it take to say that was sin? I'm sorry. That attitude. That reaction, that wrong, that thought, that wasn't of You, Father. That response wasn't of You. That reaction wasn't of You. Have you ever stopped to analyze the number of times you're critical in a day? Judgmental in a day? How many times are you critical? Critical thought, critical response, critical, judgmental. And we just pass over it as though it's nothing. But it affects the prayer life. It affects the prayer life. Why? Because it's contrary to the will of God. It's contrary to the Word of God. Therefore, it needs to be confessed.
Amen.
Every sin that's ever been confessed was placed on Christ on the cross. Every sin that's going to be... You see, God knew from eternity past every sin you were ever going to sin.
Right.
He knew the sins you were going to sin before you received Christ. He knew the sins you were going to sin after you received Christ. And He made accommodation to put each and every one of those sins to death in Christ Jesus. But I need to recognize that I have sinned. So I can put it to death in Christ Jesus, because the moment I confess it, it is put to death in Christ.
Amen.
If you want to walk in liberty, walk in freedom, walk in anointing, that's the practice. But that'll get it done for you. You see, my sins were put to death in Christ Jesus. All my sins were put to death in Him. Colossians 2:15. Having disarmed, are you ready for this? Having disarmed principalities and powers, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. You know what He's saying? Christ Jesus disarmed the world of unclean spirits. It didn't register. It didn't register. Ask God right now, give me ears to hear. Give me ears to hear, God. What that verse is telling you is that He, Jesus Christ, disarmed every demon out of hell. They need your permission to operate in your life, regardless of what their manifestation is, regardless of how an unclean spirit, a demon, manifests itself in your life and through you. It needs your permission to do that, because He disarmed them at the cross. You say all demons? Every demon of every rank. Every demon of every rank. And they come in categories. They come in different ranks. Read Ephesians chapter 5. They come in different levels, different authority, different powers. It's all right there in the Word of God. Demons of every rank, every kind, were disarmed at Calvary. Jesus Christ, you have to understand this. Jesus Christ defeated every foul spirit out of hell.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
And then He said to you, okay, I've defeated them, walk in it. I've defeated them, walk in it. He's turned all of His work over to the church, folks.
Yes, sir.
He's turned every bit of His work over to the church. He defeated every demon of every rank and every description. He defeated them all and said to you, said to me, the victory is yours. Appropriate it. Appropriate the victory.
Amen.
Pray the victory. Speak the victory. Talk the victory. Live the victory. It's all yours. He defeated every unclean spirit you'll ever meet. Oh, hear me. Every unclean spirit, every demon out of hell, regardless of their type, size, strength, power, whatever, were defeated at Calvary and when He came out of that tomb.
Amen.
Everything. And it's yours. It's your victory. You can walk in as much victory, power, authority as you choose to walk. You can walk in as much defeat as you choose to walk. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you're never going to have a backache. I'm not saying you're never going to wake up with a sore this or a sore that or hurt this or I'm saying that that is part of normal humanity. But I'm saying as a child of God, exercise your prerogatives. Go before the throne of God with the problem. Resist, renounce, repudiate. I'm 90 years old. I have some idea what I'm talking about.
Amen.
I've tried to practice what I preach. I try to live what I preach. And yes, I've done that. I've told hell, bring it on. I'm in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And I take this position. You got to get through Christ Jesus before you can get to me.
Amen.
You've got to get through Christ Jesus before you can get to me. Because I'm in Christ Jesus. Colossians 2:16. Incidentally, the resurrection of Jesus Christ was Satan's final failure. When Jesus Christ came out of that tomb, that was Satan's final failure. Colossians 2:16. So let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath. He said this, don't be bound by Jewish religious laws.
Amen.
That's what he was saying. You're not bound by Jewish religious laws. I remember when I went in the military. That was a lifetime ago. When I went in the military, and I didn't understand why every Friday we had fish. And then I was made aware of the fact that it's a Catholic thing. That the Catholics don't eat meat on Friday. They eat fish on Friday. And because the Catholics were eating fish on Friday, I as a Baptist was eating fish on Friday. And I didn't necessarily appreciate the fish they were giving me. But you see, it all creeps into society. It overlaps and all comes together in the society. Colossians 2:17. Which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. A shadow has no substance.
No.
Hear what I said?
Yeah.
A shadow has no substance.
No.
And he says all that stuff we just been talking about are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. You see, Christ Jesus is the substance of our faith.
Amen.
Not some religious practice. Christ Jesus is the substance of our faith. Colossians 2:18. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind.
Amen.
Don't work at faking humility. Don't work at faking humility. True humility in the life of the believer is the work of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
True humility is the work of the Holy Spirit. The Bible forbids and denounces the worship of angels. We're not to worship angels. And any religion that practices that is a false religion. Colossians 2:19. And not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. What's he saying? Let's boil it down to this. It's not Jesus plus.
No.
It's not Jesus plus anything. It is salvation. And salvation is accessed in and through the Lord Jesus Christ and no other source.
Amen.
Only in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. End of conversation. You got nowhere to go from there. Salvation is achieved through faith in Christ Jesus. Do you understand that you're living in a world full of God haters?
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Do you realize, as I said earlier, that so much of the world's governing authorities are themselves children of Satan. And as they are children of Satan, they will push the agenda of Satan.
Yes,
they will embrace the satanic agenda. Child of God. Colossians 2:20. Therefore, watch this. If you died with Christ from the basic principle of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to regulations? He says, consider yourself dead to sin. I don't have to commit that sin. I'm dead to sin.
Amen.
I'm crucified with Christ. I've got to take my rightful place of death to self. Every morning of the world. Every morning in the world, get up and take your rightful place to death to self. Alive to God through Christ Jesus. I'm going to sin every day. Word of God says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, the truth is not in us. I'm going to sin. You're going to sin. But I can do this. I can ask the Holy Spirit of God to make me sin sensitive.
Amen.
That when I do sin, I can confess it. Receive forgiveness and receive cleansing. But I'm to take every thought captive. The word says taking every thought captive. How many of us practice that? Now, let me ask you this. Would he tell you to do it if you couldn't do it?
No.
See, he says take every thought captive. That means it's possible.
Amen.
Now, that means this. The thought's going to be there. But he says take it captive. The thought's going to come before you even know it's coming. But you're to take it captive. Lord, that thought was wrong. That judgment was wrong. That was wrong. I confess it as sin. So in other words, take it captive. Taking every thought captive. You don't prevent the thought from coming. You can't stop the thought from coming. But you can take the thought captive once it comes. And turn it over to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We can minimize to some degree the thoughts that we entertain. If we're thought sensitive. If what I'm about to say, is it prejudicial? Is it critical? Is it judgmental? Just pause and think about what you're processing. And you don't have to process it. Cautious. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the Lord Jesus Christ. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. I didn't write it. I just teach it. But I've got to be sensitive to what I'm thinking if I'm going to take it captive. Don't let that escape you, what I just said. I'm starting to wrap this up. I've got to be sensitive to what I'm thinking if I'm going to take captive what I have thought that I should not have thought.
Amen.
I didn't write it. I just teach it. Taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Colossians 2:20. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to regulations? Verse 21, do not touch, do not taste, do not handle. In other words, the do's and don'ts of a man-made system of religion. Why do you let yourself get all bound up with the do's and don'ts of a man-made system of religion, of which there are over 4,000 in the world? Colossians 2:22, which all concern things which perish with the using according to the commandments and doctrines of men. There's nothing of eternal value in a man-made system of religion. Did you hear me? There's nothing of eternal value in a man-made system of religion. Folks, there's one truth. One truth. You must be born again. One truth. You must be born again. Colossians 2:23. those things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. Compliance with a man-made system of religion has no value whatever. Did you hear me? Compliance with a man-made system of religion has no value whatever. Only those born again have the hope of glory when they die. Only those who've been born again.
Amen.
You've been born again? One split second after your last heartbeat, you're in glory. One split second with your last heartbeat, you are in glory. The battle is over. Eternity is yours. In the kingdom of God, a new heavens, a new earth, ruling and reigning with Lord Jesus Christ. Glory be to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, Lord, it's not very polished, but it's real. It's the Word of God. I didn't write it. You wrote it. I just teach it. I'm asking you to take the message today and strengthen and encourage. Father, you got people sitting here this morning who are suffering some defeat. They need to understand who they are in Christ Jesus. And some, Father, need to rise up and stand against what the enemy is bringing against them.
Amen.
Oh, Father God, anoint us to receive the truth of who we are in Christ Jesus. And if you'll do that, we'll give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And all of God's people said,
amen.
Dr. Mike,
yes, sir.
Come up here and do the Lord's table.